This is a little bit different. Normally, they tell about the offering and everything, and then you got the last little preaching. So does that mean I have a chance to mess up? Have the checks been cut? No, this message. Thinking about getting my message out. This meeting, when he first asked me to come out, I was just a little leery and nervous because of my wife's condition still at that point in time. It's just like, no way, she's not going anywhere. I even took a little very short trip to Mexico without her. And so I told him, you know, I would love to be there, but I'm just going to pray and be flexible with me, please, because we would love to be here, obviously. We love you guys. We miss you guys. We think about you guys all the time. We tell stories and laugh about silly things that have happened over the years. And so for us, it's a huge joy to be here. And I honestly thought that I'd probably just end up out here by myself. And as I was praying, the Lord just kept giving me peace. And he just kept saying, do it. It's okay. And so here we are. And so I really appreciate you guys' prayers. I know that some of you have seen a few of the little episodes. I think she kind of scared some people the other day. But like I say, it's a million times better than what it was. And seriously, by the grace of God, it is literally just the mercy of God that she is alive. We thought that she was done. And when you look at the disease that she has, 99.9% of the people, once it starts, they decline, and they decline fast. And usually within about a year or two, they're dead. And so there was no hope, but God gave us hope. And as I preached to the teens this morning, taught them, like Abraham did, he hoped against hope. Amen. And I'm just so thankful that we could be here as a family, because it's been a joy to my kids. But anyways, overall, just love you. I think that says it all. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll get into this thing. This morning was really, really good for me. Me and Brother Rue were talking, and he said, you know, it's just key words and key phrases that missionaries say. And immediately you understand. And that's what I was hearing all morning long in that preaching. I was like, oh yeah, here it comes. And the Lord, our God, is a big God. Amen. And he is trying to give you guys something, give you some hope in him, give you some strength in God to do what he wants you to do, because he's not in a box unless you put him in a box. And a lot of people do that. They put God inside of a box and just kind of leave him there and try and rub the box to get their genie out every now and then. But that's not our God, amen? And if he changes your plans, he changes your life up, don't question it. And try not to whine. Try not to whine, amen? And move forward how he moves you, amen? Especially in these days. You guys, I know you agree with me, we live in some wicked days. I remember America, and I'm not that old, but in America where when I was a kid, younger than these teens here, I rode my bike everywhere by myself. And then with friends, we were everywhere all over the place, and you can't trust your kid in your own front yard these days by themselves. No way. You can't even trust them to go into a bathroom in a public place by themselves, even at 12 years old. I'm sorry. It's just, it's so wicked out there. And it's getting worse and worse. And it's not by the year. As I said the other night, it's getting worse by the day. Amen. By the day. And the fight that is going on is to castrate our children, butcher our children, confuse our children. And child, this is crazy, child suicide skyrocketing. They're confused. And there's huge, you know, good and evil fights going on, especially in America, but these days, and you can get caught up in all of that stuff. And I'm going somewhere with this, but I gotta say that America is receiving what she deserves, and it's sad. America is getting what it deserves, and you can see there's a biblical principle that the people will get the government that they deserve. They will. And I am going to end up eating that fly. I was singing back there and it tried to fly in my mouth. And now did I smell that bad when I left? Where was I? But I don't know about you guys. Are you worried about the next generation to come? I mean, I wholeheartedly believe we're at the day where Jesus Christ can blow that trumpet right now and it won't surprise me. But what if Jesus does tarry another 10 years, 20 years, you know, say 100 years from when Israel was established, 2048. Could you imagine 2048 in America? Are you not worried about your kids and your grandkids? I am. And I say all that to say, where's the church? Amen. And this is a Sunday night crowd. I know the people we got in here. And this will probably be a reminder for you, but this hopefully will be an encouragement. That's what I want all this to be, is an encouragement. We're headed for some rough times, and where is the church? And people have got to the point, the church has got to the point where they say, well, we can't really make a difference. It doesn't matter. And you need to read some history. History, that's like the most boring thing ever. All right, I'm seeing a lot of smiles. Hey, get some books and read some books. You need to read some history. Look into the Second Great Awakening. I'm just going to give some highlights of this. I'm not going to go too much into it. But the church makes a difference in its community all the way up to a nation level. And you can see it in the Bible with Israel. Okay? And the Second Great Awakening started, you know, somewhere around the early to mid 1800s. And what was it? It was essentially the Baptists and the Methodists that came out with a zeal to win people to Christ, especially as they were moving west spreading from the colonies to the west. And it wasn't just a push to win people to the Christ, but there was a huge zeal to stop this down swirling movement of morals and living a Christ-like life. And it started like that, and it ended up being very anti-cultural because this kind of church was, you know, just in the doors, anti-institutional, you know, because religion was kind of institutionalized with all these different groups. And it was tens of thousands, literally tens of thousands of people meeting outside the walls of the church, and the preachers going outside into the communities and preaching with zeal to choose a life for Christ. And to get rid of the debauchery and to get rid of the sin and cut it out of your life. And this huge focus to live for Christ created a movement within communities that went to states and spread across the colonies and became a national thing. And it was a great spiritual awakening that swept across America at that time. And there were some great things that came out of this. And it was because the church got outside of the walls. And today we have some double standards where the church is the church inside the walls. But once they get out, there's a lot of zipped lips. I can tell you in 23 years of my life, I didn't know who Jesus Christ was, literally. And I had been to 1, 2, 3, I've been to 4 continents. I had been to, I don't know, like 30-some states in America by that point in time. I don't know how many thousands and 10,000s of people I'd met. I still, in 23 years, did not know who Jesus Christ was. And some of the things that came out of that movement was Sunday school, with teaching the Bible, Bible societies, which are pretty corrupt anyway, but they started out trying to do some good things. And you know what other thing that came out of it? Prohibition. Now, prohibition wasn't actually enacted into law until 1920, but it was through that whole late 1800s, that push of living for Christ, that got it on a national level to where eventually they illegalized alcohol in America. Could you imagine a day where America would go dry? Now, this is what the church can do if the church is doing its job. And if you look up, you know, just read some history, you can find, it's not by coincidence, but right around 1920, those early 1920s, America, the economy started booming. And all of a sudden, you get Americans that are able to afford, usually under credit, at that time is when kind of all that started, but be able to afford buying vehicles, even though they're still kind of new, and tractors, and buying the home and getting the white picket fence. And in the 1920s, by the time you hit the 30s, America, the American dream really changed its course from what it was. And the American dream became a thing of possessions, acquiring material possessions. And what happened is the church fell into that rut. And the church started pursuing a life of the American dream of acquiring positions. And this is when you start seeing all the wolves come out with the prosperity gospel and all of this trash that has ruined Christians. As he said this morning, where Christians think just because they go to church, they deserve a blessed, perfect life. Where in the world is that in the Bible? My brothers and sisters, that is not a biblical deal. As he said this morning, those that will live godly shall suffer persecution. We are called thereunto. It is coming if you're going to live the Christian life. But the thing that you need to think about is you can see the results of the church not getting in the fight. We see it today. And the definition of insanity, as far as I know it, is doing the same exact thing, expecting different results. And if we sincerely hate the way our nation is going, and we sincerely fear for our children and the next generation coming up, why are we doing the same thing that the church has been doing for the last 20 years of checking the box and just going to church? Are we okay? You know, I know that hits, that might hit a little bit hard. But these are things that I think about too. And right here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, is fighting the good fight of faith. But let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am so thankful for your mercy and your grace. And as Pastor Sherry said, we fail you, we mess up, and our flesh gets the best of us, and the devil puts us down, the world puts us down, our flesh puts us down, we get weak, and I am so sorry for those times, Lord, but I'm thankful for your mercy. I'm thankful for your grace, that as we come to you and confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Thank you for being my God. And we see the way the nation is going and the world is going, and we know biblical times that this stuff is going to happen, but it doesn't mean we should just get in the groove. But we should continue to fight the good fight of faith. And my prayer, Lord, as you know, is this, that you would encourage these folks here tonight to get in the fight, to stay in the fight, to start the fight. I don't know where they're at, Lord, but you help them, please. And bless this and just guard my mouth and help me to say what you would desire me to say. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. The fight the good fight of faith. And this kind of entails a lot of things. There's a lot of things in the good fight of faith. Amen. And we can see a few of them here. I'm just going to go over a few of them right here. You see in verse 10, one of the things about having a good fight of faith is fighting to have the right kind of love. You see in verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith." Hey, having the right kind of love is part of the faith. Because the Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For the things that are in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. And we sometimes get the wrong kind of love going on in this life. Amen. And see, when we get the wrong love, we get the wrong focus, and where we start chasing that thing. Amen. And we leave our first love, which is Jesus Christ. And that's a fight. It is a fight against this thing. Amen. Amen. And it's not just having the right love. You can see continuing on, it's about having the right heart, the right kind of attitude. It says in verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith." There it is again. Love, patience, meekness. This is a fight. Let me ask you, the last time you got mad, which was probably today for some of you. Yeah, you got some anger problems. I know the flesh. I know how it works. The last time you got angry at somebody, when was the last time you took just a cleansing breath, as they call it, usrava? Be angry and sin not, and had a little bit of meekness, love. You changed the spirit that was trying to come out of you. That's a fight, guys. That's part of the fight, the good fight of faith. Having the right kind of heart, the right kind of attitude. It says over there in 2 Corinthians, get into chapter 6 there, where it's talking about, "Wherefore come ye out from among them." "Come ye out from among them and be separate." There you go, that's the word. "And be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you as a father, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters." Amen. And it says there, starting in chapter 7, "Therefore, having these promises that he will receive you, if you get out, you keep yourself clean, therefore," and he's going to receive you, "therefore, having these promises," it says, "let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness with the fear of God." That's what God desires of us. And I don't know, can I get a hallelujah amen that I'm not the only one that struggles with living holy? It is a fight to keep our flesh right, to keep it down. And it's daily. I'm talking from the time you get up in the morning. What is the first thing you do? I don't know about you, but I'm like, oh, I need some coffee. Oh, man, I'm tired. Wine, wine, wine. I mean, sometimes, guys, I don't know if I ever told you this before, you just got to look at yourself and say, shut up. You're a wretch, man. Stop complaining so much. We're living for the Lord. And so instead of crawling out and going out there and getting the coffee ready, just crawl out right onto your knees. Don't fall back asleep. And just tell that flesh to shut up. It's a fight. And it's daily. I know I'm not the only one. If you don't have the right kind of love, and you don't have the right kind of spirit, the right kind of heart, you will not fight the good fight of faith for souls. You won't do it. And maybe you already see it in your life, I bet you all of us have seen a point in time in our life where we've taken a step back because we lost the right kind of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We lost the right kind of heart attitude for souls around us and having compassion to win some souls. And we focused on other things. And at that point, when you take that step back, you are no longer in the fight. And I'm telling you, this is what the church has done for many years now, chasing the dream. And we are reaping the consequences of it today. We are seeing what's happening because we are not fighting. Amen. And so fighting for souls is part of the good fight of faith, where Paul, he said, mentioned it in that verse over in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, so fight I, right? He says, I am fighting. What's he fighting for? To win some. You just got to look in that context, man. It's all about winning souls. It's all about glorifying God. It's all about keeping your life right for Him and glorifying Him. And this fight, the good fight of faith, is so vitally important. And sadly, guys, sadly, Christians are not engaged in the battle. They're not engaged. And there's two things I got to say about this, and we'll get into my points. That's all introduction. I don't know how far we got in. I might be a little bit long. Are you okay with that? Are we good? I don't know about you, but I'm already stirring my own soul with this. I need this stuff to keep myself in it. But I got two things about this fight. Number one, are you in it? Are you in it? This is why we come to church. We want to hear from God. I hope we're not just checking a box tonight. We want to, you know, the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Well, let Him speak to you. Are you in the fight? You need to ask yourself that question. Okay, and we're going to go through some things, and it'll show you if you're in the fight or not. And I don't know who is and who's not. I've been here years. Amen. But are you in the fight? That's number one. And number two, to get into the fight, this fight is going to be the hardest thing you do in your life. This is the hardest thing I have done in my life. This fight of faith. I don't know, you know, what you think or know or whatever about the good fight of faith. Maybe you're in it and you're like, yeah, hallelujah, I get it. Listen, man, I think about some of the things I've done in my life. I went overseas with the United States Army Infantry. I went to Afghanistan, man, and I went days without food. And I remember going a day and a half without water. And in the meantime, we're climbing these mountains, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000, 11,000 feet above sea level. If you've ever wondered about how, you know, they talk about sucking oxygen, you're sucking for oxygen. And you're climbing up that. And we had packs. We had to weigh ourselves to get on the helicopters to know, you know, weight and all of that with all of our gear. And I'm not exaggerating, guys. I was carrying 105 pounds. I'm about 105 pounds as it is. And you got double your weight sitting on you, and you're climbing up to 11,000 feet, and you're every single step you take, and you don't have any food, and you're out of water until you get down to a creek, and then you got to send a team down to the creek just to get water and come back up and just to take over this stinking ridge. What are we doing here? And then, you know, hours without sleep. That is nothing compared to the spiritual fight of faith, guys. It's the hardest thing I've done in my life. I mean, some days I'm a wretch on the ground, a mess, because it's a spiritual deal. You can't fight it in your flesh. If you try and fight it in your flesh, you're done. You can't do it. And so daily you have to get in the fight. You have to get in the Spirit of God. You have to ask Him to strengthen you and get you engaged and protect you and all of these things, guys. But if you are going to try and help this world out, That's what it's going to be. Amen. It's going to be fighting the good fight of faith, winning one soul at a time. Amen. One soul at a time. Because you know what? As you win one soul at a time, that's one less soul that's out there doing that wicked, corrupt, nasty mess that's going on out there. And Lord willing, it's a man who will lead his family, and that's one less family that's allowing it to go on. That's the only way this nation will ever change, is getting the book out of these walls. And that's by us. It won't happen. You see what's going on by the church not getting out. And so I got three things for you tonight to get into the fight. These are things you're going to have to consider and apply. Amen. Second Timothy chapter 2. How are we all doing? You doing good? Okay, amen. Not throwing me out yet. Guys, I want to see you get in the fight. Maybe you guys are already just fully engaged, man. You're battle ready. Amen. Amen. Stick with it. If you're struggling, let's get on, man. Let's go. We can do this. We got everything we need. He's equipped us. The first thing I want you to consider, and you need to apply this if you're going to get in the fight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. For no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you are going to war, you cannot entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. And I'm going to hit this point kind of hard. And it might ring some bells here. I don't know. I hope not. I hope you guys don't even, this is like whatever. But I have observed, other missionaries will tell you, we visit a lot of churches. We meet a lot of Christians. And then we got our own works overseas with other missionaries that we know. And I have seen a lot of Christians are in a lot of battles. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Christians in a lot of battles, but the problem is they're the wrong battles. They're the wrong battles. You got Christians in the battle for more possessions. It is all about how to make an extra buck. That is the focus. And we see these other things, and well, that becomes the focal point of, yeah, maybe, you know, I do this and I count that and whatever, and you know, I work a little extra hard, and the focal point is more possessions, more things. Amen. And we don't even, you know, we read our Bibles and we pass over the passages that are so against any of that thought, where Paul, the greatest Christian who suffered and abounded, said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Amen. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. But you see, it doesn't matter if I'm abased or I abound. That doesn't matter. Those are things. It's finances. We need finances to live, but that's not the thing. That's not the focus. And that's what I'm talking about, having the wrong love. And we got Christians in battles for recognition, and preachers fall into this every year. Man, you can see it when they start preaching. They're just out for a name, but you got Christians that are out there for a name, and it's just to climb that social ladder. You know, what would you call it? The career escalator. You know, just trying to get up there and have a name for themselves, have a title. You know, I'm Dr. So and So. I'm the CEO here, and you know, I'm the supervisor of this, and that's what it's all about. And just claw, tooth, and nail, just trying to get up into a position of something. And that becomes the focus. You got a lot of Christians, honestly, that are in a battle to just have some peace. You really do. And when they're seeking peace, here's the problem that has come, and I see it left and right, and it just, sometimes it boils my blood, the things I see, but it's all about amusement. Now, don't get me wrong, because there is a balance. We need rest. hey, sometimes you gotta just get some R&R, but that doesn't mean you quit on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not on vacation from God. Amen. But get some R&R, you know, help your family out. That's good. But what I'm talking about is just constant amusement. And it's the cable, the TV, the movies, the series, the cell phones, the social media, the YouTube, the videos. It's just constantly we sit down and we pull out our phones. I mean, you go to any office, you go to anything. People walking down the grocery aisle, they're going like this. And it's like, aren't you supposed to be shopping? What are you doing? People watching videos as they're trying to pick out cereal. Oh, I guess I'll take that one. They're just, it's all about amusement. And you know what amuse means? A as in not or no. Muse, to think. Just give me something to where I don't have to be in my thoughts. I don't have to think. And we come home from work. If you come home from work and you're so stressed that you just got to turn the TV on and check out, you got to get some things checked out, man. That amusement is killing us. I was listening to a brother not too long ago. He was complaining about how the cable company was, you know, starting to charge him $80 a month. And I'm thinking, number one, you're paying $80 a month, but what are you paying $80 a month for? It's trash. And you're allowing it in your home. And I mean, I just went on a marriage retreat and me and my wife, we were at the, you know, this church on a marriage retreat and, she had to use the restroom, but our bathroom, you know, our room was like a floor up or whatever. And somebody was like, hey, go ahead and just use ours. The door's open, you know, you can just use ours. I'm like, oh, perfect. And I go in and they got the TV on, whatever. And, you know, we just glance at it and it is literally a show of drag queens. Flaunting it, man, just flaunting this wickedness. And that's the stuff that we're allowing in our homes. And that's the stuff, I mean, you give your kids these cell phones, hey, don't be so ignorant to think your kids aren't doing things behind your back. Yeah, I learned that one the hard way. You're allowing things in your home and you say, well, you know, I just like the sports. Okay, so we like to just go ahead and lift up and exalt self-righteous, self-worshipping, self-loving, just rotten people that are not role models. And now I was watching a family member, their little baseball clip, their kid at the baseball game, and he's sitting here doing this jig coming up to the plate and it's like, oh, I just, what are you doing? And then you strike out. I mean, that's where they're getting it from. And what kind of character does your kid have? What character is your kid learning and you're allowing it? And we wonder why the generation coming out is like this. It boils my blood, guys. And I'm just going to outright say this. Maybe I'm overstepping my bounds, and I hope not. I hope you take this in love. If you got that junker in your home, cut it. Amen. Go home tomorrow and call up the cable company and cut it. Amen. And now if you're sitting inside and you're kind of trembling at that, that shows you where you're at in the fight. You're not engaged. You're more worried about some other things. Guys, we got people dying, kids, children, teens, adults, left and right, daily, falling into drugs. I was just talking to Jason Roberts about this a little bit. And what are we doing? Amusing ourselves. Our kids are just wasting and rotting their brains. The doctor out there, like I told you, he's born again. He's got some weird things, but he's got some really good things too. And one of the things he said, I was just like, this was, oh man, it hit me as soon as he said it. I was like, wow, if that is not true, he said the heart is the sponge that catches the drippings from your mind. The heart is the sponge that catches the drippings from your mind. And now if you know your Bible, you just think about just Lot, who is vexed day by day, right? And what was it? It was what he was seeing and hearing. And what you see and what you hear goes into your mind and it changes your mind and it drips down to your heart. And you think those kids aren't being affected. You think you aren't being affected. And it is.
Yeah.
I don't want to belabor this too much, but that is the reason that we got divorces going on in Christian homes.
Yeah.
They're watching things that are actors, by the way, as in it's fake, right? And it shows a fake love that is sensual and devilish. And we think that's love and that's what we want. And my wife isn't providing that. My husband isn't doing that. And we're all out of bounds. We're out of bounds. We're not in the fight. The focus has been refocused. And we're doing it to ourselves. And I see some battles. I see Christians in battles of making America great again. Now, I'm talking about just politics in general. I'm not even going to go into all that junk. I mean, it's all about the Dems and the Republicans, the liberals, you know, and the hardcore righties. And there is a line that's being drawn. Can I tell you something? There is a very biblical, precise attack on America. And Christians don't even see it. They don't even see it. Now, you remember that passage over there in Mark chapter 3 where they accused Jesus of casting out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub? You remember what Jesus said about that? Now, he said something very important that you need to catch and you need to apply in your life because it applies for the home too. He said, a nation divided against itself, anybody can finish that? Cannot stand. And what are we doing all these tweets and posts and things, memes and all this of just, man, just throwing it out there and just throwing it out. Can I tell you that your comments about all of this stuff going on and trying to put the liberals down and whatever you're doing, it's not working. It's working for the devil's plan of putting a division in the nation so this nation cannot stand. There's not one person in the last year that has seen any of your posts and gone, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I think I'm going to stop being liberal now. That, I'm sorry, it's not happening. You're in the wrong fight. If you want to change America, it's going to be soul by soul, winning them to the Lord and changing their heart. Amen. I'll say it. Oh, it just drives me nuts. And we got Christians, man, they get the machete, man, and I don't know about you guys, but I was young and dumb and I grabbed the machete and I went right into that thicket, man. I'm like, I'm gonna take care of this, man. And you hit the tree of money, you know, and then you get the vine of just all those American fights and it's like, oh, and then you got the thorns of just, you know, money and trying to reach positions and all these things I'm talking about, it just, man, it just got you entangled. No, you need to back out. You need to get out and then swing your sword. The Word of God. That is the only way you're going to get in this battle. If you are entangled, you're done. They already got you. You can't battle that way. Let's go to the next point because I'll just keep going. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 here. It says here in verse 19, famous verses, you know. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You need to go. Hey, what you need to do, the second point here, is you need to go on the offense. You need to take the fight to them. You got to get outside of the church and actually open your mouth. And we see the verse after verse after verse, go ye into all the world. Preach the word, instant, in season, out of season, right? And God is looking for laborers. We are to go. We don't live in the movies. It's not like the old whatever movie that was. If you build it, they will come. They're not coming! You can build the most beautiful building, church, and just everything outdoors, and it doesn't matter. They're not coming. You have to go to them. That's what Jesus Christ did. And I mean, he even, you know, brought Saul on the scene and brought persecution into the church there. Why? To disperse the gospel. It was to get it out. It's time to leave Jerusalem. It's time to go. You have to bring the fight to them because they're not going to come to you. Look here in Ephesians chapter 6. We got some armor to put on. You need to take notice of some of this stuff. Ephesians chapter 6. It says here in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is part of the fight, guys. But look at this armor. It says here, well, let's start in verse 14. It says towards the end of the verse, or no, at the beginning, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. And that's right here, that's the front part of all your legs here. Okay, that's front armor. And you got not just the loins, but it says having on the breastplate of righteousness. Right here. Not a back plate, a breastplate. Are you with me here? You seeing where I'm going with this? And have your feet shod. That's the, you know, that little piece of thick leather or metal that they would put over their feet. And it says, take the shield. The shield isn't meant to be strapped over your back. That shield is right here out front. And then it says, take the helmet. And the helmet isn't just, you know, the back of the head. You got those pieces that come across to protect the face. And the last thing, the sword. That sword isn't to be sheathed. It's not to be pointing backwards. Man, that thing is to go forwards. Amen. All of these pieces of armor are for forward action. You are to go. That's what God wants you to do. Okay? And I remember even in the army when we went overseas, you know, our vests were made to protect from, you know, smaller rounds, type rounds, but over there you get into AKs and all that. Yeah, good luck. And so that we had these really thick metal plates, you know, that would fit right about here just to protect the core area. And it slipped right in. They gave you two. They always issued you two. One for the front of the vest, one for the back. Guess what happened to the back plate every single time? I'm not running. I'm not going backwards. I'm not showing my back. That thing's just an extra 10 pounds. I don't need it. I already got 100 pounds as it is. And I know a guy who he got up, you know, in the middle of the battle. He got up to move, and he pointed his back, and boom. He got hit right in the back. And he dropped like a sack of rocks, and it wasn't even a life-threatening injury. He's still paralyzed to this day. God does not want you going backwards. God wants you going forwards. Amen? I believe it says over there in James, submit ye yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and who's going to flee? He. The devil's going to flee. Amen? And that's what God wants. He doesn't want you backing down from the fight. He wants you engaged. He wants you to be part of it. And it doesn't mean you got to be on the front lines and going, you know, to foreign countries and going to the drug addicts and all of that danger. But get in the fight, guys. Yeah. And bring the fight to them. And I want to clarify this just so you have it too. Going on the offense doesn't mean going out to offend. Because a huge part of the Bible tells us to be meek. To tell the truth in love. Amen. You don't listen, telling somebody the Bible, you don't have to try and offend people. This Bible will offend me sometimes. The Bible is offensive in itself. So you don't have to try. Jesus had compassion on the people. And you can see sometimes he got hard with people. And sometimes he was super soft with people. And you need discernment on how to do that. And the Lord will teach you all of that. But it doesn't mean going out and being a big fat jerk. Holding the Bible. I'm a King James Bible believing. No. But go on the offense. Get it out. Tell people, amen. And last thing, last point here, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because this is a good fight of faith, you need to have faith in the promises. Amen. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Look here in 2 Timothy, where we were in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. I think this might have been mentioned, I don't remember. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hopefully I'm not moving too fast. Verse 8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Now it doesn't end there, because what does it say? "And not to me only." Hey guys, payday is coming. Remember and have faith in the promises of God. We got a lot of promises in the middle of the fight, and the fight gets hard at times, but we need to have the long look. And see, that's the problem with today's generation that we're in. I almost got caught up in it myself whenever I was young, because that's what was being, you know, propagated, and that's really where we're at now. We are in a BK society. Have it your way. I mean, we're in a Snickers society. Hungry? Why wait? Why wait, man? Just get after it. Get what you want. But that's not how God works. As he preached last night, wait on the Lord. Love those times, don't we? You need to have faith in the promises of God. I look over here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I don't know about you guys, but I tell you what, sometimes, well, a lot of times I claim the promises of God. I hold God to His Word, because I know He holds me to His Word too. And, you know, sometimes you get down. I don't know about you guys, and maybe I'm being too real here, but sometimes I'm like, "God, You said this. You said this, and I believe it." And that's good. God wants you to claim His Word. Amen? And this is something that I think of when I'm having some rough times in the fight. It says here in Romans chapter 8, in verse, let's just start in 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Do you understand that God is coming? He's coming soon. He is going to, you know, let the tribulation pass. When we come back, He's wiping it out, man. He is going to clean this world up. He is going to regenerate this world, something we have never seen before in our lifetime or any other lifetime. And He is going to set up thrones. You know who's going to sit on those thrones? People who suffer with Him. Yeah, if you willingly suffer with God, payday's coming, man. And I'm all about it. Because sometimes the fight is too much, and I tell God that. It's like, "God, I just want to please You. I'm sorry, I'm going to complain a little bit here. But help me to stick in the fight. Help me to do this for You. And give me that throne whenever it comes. I want to be glorified with You." Amen. The fight is hard sometimes. But God is good. And you know, sometimes you don't even have to wait for the next life to come. Look over here in, where is it? Luke chapter 18. Look over here in Luke 18. This sometimes you don't even have to wait. You get Him talking about giving up things and taking the cross and all that stuff. And then Peter, here's good old Peter. I love Peter. I am so Peter. I don't know if you ever noticed my personality. I stick my foot in my mouth a lot. Ask my wife. "And Peter, lo, we have left all and followed Thee." Hey, what about us, man? We left everything. "And he said unto him, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wives or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." I don't know about you guys, but I can look out in the parking lot and say, we have been blessed.
Yeah.
Because I have seen a country where you won't see a vehicle like that. My vehicle fits in very nice. It's an old beat-up Yukon. There's a dent in every single fender and scratch paint and other paint of other people's sidewalks and cars and whatever else. And people think, oh, he's not rich. He's got a beat-up car just like us. A lot of people don't even have... I mean, how many people even in America, still in America, go out and they question, are you going to start today?
Yeah,
I hope you start today. I need to get to work on time. How many of you guys today walked home, went home, maybe you went out to lunch, but whatever, any day, you open the fridge and you say, what am I going to eat today?
Well,
yeah. And it's not because there's a lack of food. There's a plethora, and it's like, boy, what do I want today? Wow, are we blessed, guys? Are we not? Because I know families, and I have been in the situation where it's like, what are we going to eat today? I'll go get some beans and tortillas. We can fill ourselves up with some rice and tortillas. Amen. Yeah. We are blessed. I can't tell you how many homes that we have across America just in the drop of a hat. Well, they want us to come into their home. And people love on our children. I am so thankful. You know, we got over to North Carolina there. We came up with 4 bags packed with clothes and nothing else. Oh, we had other 4 bags of school. Yay for the kids. They're like, can't we bring toys? Nope. Sorry, we just need to get up there and you need clothes more important than toys. And then Christmas rolls around. It's like, sorry, we're going to get you one nice thing, you know, something cheesy. But it's all we can do. You know, it's okay. Christmas isn't about presents. They're just really nice at Christmas time, right? And I can't tell you guys how many people in that church over there bought our kids presents. And it was like, phew, you guys are loaded, man. What did you guys give me this year? And what a blessing! You suffer with Christ and you will see the blessings of God with the fight. Yeah, it gets hard at times, but trust. Have faith in the promises of God.
Amen.
We are in a raging battle, guys. Teens, we are in a raging battle. And I hope your parents are opening your eyes to it.
Amen.
It's not going away. And you're either going to fall into it, you're going to fight battles that you shouldn't be fighting, or you're going to get in a fight.
Amen.
The good fight of faith. This thing's not going away. And if we want to see things change, that is how things change.
Yeah.
One soul at a time.
Yeah.
One soul at a time. One soul at a time. Just plugging along. Staying in the fight.
Amen.
Keeping yourself right. Keeping your heart right. Having the right love. That's the fight. Are you in the fight?
Yeah.
Let's get in the fight, guys. Get in the fight with us.
Yeah.
Amen.